Are you familiar with the Orthodox Software Initiative? Well, you're going to find out about it on today's edition of Come Receive the Light.
We serve the voice of an unchanging God in a rapidly changing world. I'd like to say that people consider that sometimes as a negative thing, in that technology can be seen as not the best thing. But I think the Orthodox Software Initiative is proof that it can be something very, very positive for our churches and our metropolises. And I think that's an important message to get out.
And we'll help share that message in just a moment on this edition of our broadcast. Another message that's so important to get out is about persecuted Christians, some call them martyrs, around the world.
The reality that we want to present is, hey, listen, this is exactly what Jesus Christ said would happen. He said, the world hates me, and if you follow me, the world's going to hate you too. That's not the experience of most American Christians, but that is happening around the world. And so helping the media to understand the story, not just in the humanitarian sense of, hey, these people got kicked out of their homes and they need help, they need tents, they need food, but helping them understand in the spiritual sense, this is Jesus Christ's words coming to pass in our time, coming to fruition. The other thing is to help them understand the spiritual power that is available in the midst of persecution.
That was Todd Nettleton, and he's a part of a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs, and he will be our second guest on today's broadcast, talking with us about their outreach around the world. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. He is the founder of this ministry and the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. If you'd like more information about this ministry, if you're not already on the website, I encourage you to check us out there at myocn.net. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, and Pinterest. We're a nonprofit outreach. If you feel blessed by this ministry, if you feel the Lord encouraging you to help us reach around the world, then check out the donate button on our homepage on the website, and all of the ways that you can join with us, again, financially. That's myocn.net. And now with our first conversation on the phone in his office, here's Father Chris.
Epi Marie Smith is the senior manager of the Orthodox Software Initiative. She leads the design, development, and rollout of that product. This system is the first of its kind for the Orthodox Church. It unifies parishes, standardizing the metropolis operations, financial management, and oversight, and improves parishioner communication, ministry development, as well as other major aspects of our church. Prior to her time at the Orthodox Software Initiative, Epi provided technological management and direction to worldwide companies, including Canon. Wow. Welcome, Epi Marie.
Thank you so much, Father.
Thanks so much for coming and talking to us today. Let's talk about the OSI, Orthodox Software Initiative. For our first-time listeners and for people who might not know, can you tell us what this initiative is and what is the desired outcome of it?
Sure, Father, and thank you for asking. I think that it's a wonderful opportunity, the Orthodox Software Initiative, as an offering for the Orthodox Church. What it is really is, as it's envisioned to be, a three-tier system. The parishes, the metropolis level, and ultimately, God willing, the archdiocesan level. So we started with a national team of people, and we were talking about what is out there for the Orthodox Church. How do we run our parishes? What's in there in the day-to-day? How do we help them? How do we get better reporting? How do they manage their parishes in a more effective way? And that was the genesis of this whole implementation of the Orthodox Software Initiative. Mm-hmm. And so what it really is a tool, like all equipment, like all technology, is ultimately a tool that enables ultimately, three-way communication, better financial reporting, ministry, ministering, and I mean from a pastoral sense, communication, happy birthday, happy name day, stewardship of the three T's and time and talent and treasure. It uses texting and emailing and printing. We want to use technology in the way that's the most meaningful for our parishes to communicate with their people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk for a minute specifically about how this OSI can be helpful to the entire GOA. You mentioned a few things. Just pick one and kind of drill down for us so our listeners could better understand what it is you offer.
One of the things that the software does, especially on the parish level, is it's a day in the life of the parish. So outreach, how do we speak to our people, and what are we speaking to them about, right? Are we ministering to our Goyans? Are we reaching out to the folks who might be shut-ins or who only hear about us traditionally when we're looking for funds to support the parishes, right? So the software aims to move far beyond just a financial tool, which it is, into a day in the life of a parish. How do we talk to our parishioners? When do we wish them for their feast days? When do we reach out to them about our various ministries? And how do we do that? So that the ministry heads can speak to their specific ministries and the priest can reach out to his entire flock. You know, the software moves in multiple directions, and it truly is cross-ministry in that way. It isn't just a financial tool. It isn't just a, hey, I need to get more Goyans active tool.
Well, you know, I served in a parish for over 3 decades in 3 or 4 different parishes, and clearly one of the major issues is that constant communication with parishioners. It's sort of the elusive thing that's out there. You could send an email, you can make a phone call. We used to do robocalls. We used to do all kinds of things, but you need the mechanical, but you also need the face-to-face. Does this help you set up, let's say, face-to-face meetings in various zip codes of the parish?
It absolutely does that, Father, and in fact, it will put a reminder on your Google Calendar. It will give you turn-by-turn directions to a parishioner's house. You can text those people and confirm your meetings straight out of the software. The priest, who is always, you know, running around trying to manage every ball in the air, has the opportunity also to reach across through the web to his own directory and pull up the names and addresses and phone numbers of his parish, however he chooses. So if he's saying, wait, I don't have to call my office and say, what's the names of all the children or where exactly is their house? We'll actually give you a map through Google Maps of what their house looks like.
Well, that's a great tool because I remember doing these house blessings years ago, and we actually went to AAA, and they gave us triptychs. So that's a long time ago. Now you have Google Maps, and you have the ability to go to Google Calendar. That's a great step forward.
Thank you.
Let's look at the sort of a long-term benefit. What do you have any long-term goals for the initiative?
My absolute long-term goal is to bring all of, not just the GOA, but as many Orthodox churches as we can onto the software. What we're already seeing is a tremendous improvement in parishioner engagement, in increases in stewardship, not only the financials, which of course is very, very important. We have one parish where they had a catastrophic problem. That particular parish is not only engaged in a capital campaign, but also through the software, which they're using it for, but they also saw an increase in their regular stewardship contributions and also people walking up to the parish priest and saying, Father, thank you for remembering my feast day. Thank you for remembering our anniversary. This is easy stuff, and it makes such a tremendous difference when a parishioner says, this parish cares about me.
Absolutely. That's critical. They don't just come to me when they want money. They actually reach out to me. They're ministering. That's very, very important. Very, very important.
Thank you.
You know, we have some videos on the OCN website of you talking about the Orthodox Software Initiative as well. And if our listeners want more information about the program, would you say, where's the best place you would say for them to turn?
They can always reach out to me directly, and I welcome everyone of all Orthodox faiths to reach out to us. Mm-hmm. They can reach out to me at emsmith@goarch.org.
Okay.
Or I can give you my phone number. It's 212-774-0273. There is a link on the webpage under the finance department of the GoArch website, and they can find me that way as well. But if they reach out to me, email is a very easy way always, of course, these days, but they can reach out with a phone call any way they want. I would be glad to talk to anybody.
Very good. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners today to let them know about OSI before we wrap up?
Father, thank you for this opportunity. I think that I do want to say that, you know, we talk about the Orthodox Christian Network, and we talk about Orthodox. We don't say Greek Orthodox. We've received interest from the Antiochian Church, from the Carpathian Russian Church, from the Serbian Church, from many other churches in addition to the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese. And we serve the voice of an unchanging God in a rapidly changing world. I'd like to say that people consider that sometimes as a negative thing, in that technology can be seen as not the best thing. But I think the Orthodox Software Initiative is proof that it can be something very, very positive for our churches and our metropolises. And I think that's an important message to get out.
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it, and we pray that the initiative will do exactly what you said, connecting us all together. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
As Afi mentioned, we do hear a lot about the bad, the downside of using the internet, and this is a good side. We'll have all of the contact information that Afi mentioned a few minutes ago on the website. If you're there, it's associated with the broadcast, Come Receive the Light, this particular program. And if you're not, well, then go to the website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Click on the Listen button on the homepage. It's sort of in the top left. And select Come Receive the Light. And then this broadcast should come up first in the long list of our archives. That's myocn.net. And now with our second conversation, here is one of our regular guest hosts, Father Gregory Joyce.
Todd Nettleton is the Director of Media and Public Relations for the Voice of the Martyrs and host of VOM Radio. During 17 years of service at VOM, Todd has traveled the world to interview hundreds of Christians who have endured persecution in more than 20 nations. He has been interviewed more than 2,250 times by various media outlets, including CNN, the Associated Press, Los Angeles Times, the BBC, Moody Broadcast Network, and others. Todd, I understand that you are a child of missionary parents. Welcome to Come Receive the Light, and please tell us, how does this experience shape the work that you do?
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me and for allowing Voice of the Martyrs to be featured today. You know, as I think about moving to Papua New Guinea, when I was 12 years old, our family moved to Papua New Guinea, it really is kind of a pivot point in my life, and I think I wouldn't be at Voice of the Martyrs today without that move. That gave me sort of a love for God's people around the world. It gave me a love for getting on an airplane and going someplace new and trying new food and meeting new people and experiencing a new culture. And it also, you know, watching my parents serve as missionaries really gave me an understanding that working for Christ's kingdom, working in ministry, is a high honor and a high calling. And I still think of that, and I consider it a great privilege to be involved with Voice of the Martyrs today.
That's really interesting. How long did you stay there?
We were there 4 years, from the time I was 12 to when I was 16.
Wow, that's some very formative years. Very interesting. You can see how that would reflect on a young man very much. So tell us about the Voice of the Martyrs. How and when did it begin, and what does VOM hope to achieve?
Well, the Voice of the Martyrs is actually just getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary. Our first monthly newsletter was mailed out in October 50 years ago this year. So we're looking back, we're thinking about that anniversary. The founder of the ministry was a man named Richard Wurmbrand, and many of our listeners may have heard that name, Richard Wurmbrand, a pastor, the author of a book called Tortured for Christ, as well as many other books. Richard spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania because of his faith in Christ, because of his work in the underground church there. His wife, Sabina, spent 3 years in a labor camp working to build the Danube Canal. Part of Richard's time in prison, part of those 14 years, was 3 years in solitary confinement, and he literally was in a cell 30 feet below ground level. The guards wore pads on their shoes so they didn't make any sound as they walked around outside. So it was a dark, silent, quiet world of complete isolation. But Richard testified afterwards that God was there in that solitary confinement cell. And one of the things, as he was released from prison, eventually he was ransomed out of Romania. The secret police took him aside before he left, and they said, Pastor Wurmbrand, you're going to go to the West now. Congratulations. You can preach about God all you want, but don't talk about us. Don't talk about what we did to you while you were here. Richard left Romania and immediately ignored their orders and began to tell the story and just say, hey, here's how I was tortured. But more than just telling his story, he said, hey, there are still pastors in those prison cells. They need our help. And so the Voice of the Martyrs was really founded to provide help to those pastors and those Christians who were still in those prisons. At that time, it was called Jesus to the Communist World, because that's where Christian persecution was happening. Over time, that has shifted. We still see it in communist countries like China and North Korea, but now we see it more in Muslim, Islamic countries like Pakistan and the countries of the Middle East. But always that focus is, how do we help Christians who are suffering for the name of Jesus Christ? That's why Voice of the Martyrs exists. We invite the American church to know about Christians who are suffering and to choose to stand with them and fellowship with them through the ways that we can bless them.
Maybe you could describe the impact that VOM has in the United States and internationally. And, you know, do you really see it making a difference at the level of policy or in other countries or at the United Nations? I think it would be interesting for our listeners to understand not just what you're doing, but how that might have an impact on the world that they live in.
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that Voice of the Martyrs is not first and foremost an advocacy group. We do have contacts in Washington, D.C. We do have a person who we call the legislative liaison that goes to Washington, D.C. several times a year. She does have contacts in different congressional offices, and we try to keep them aware of the issue of persecution, aware of ways that they might get involved and help. But our first top priority is standing with persecuted Christians in the countries where they're at. So that's kind of where I would describe our impact internationally. Things like delivering more than a million Bibles a year. There are Christian families who have a family member in prison that will have food on their table tonight because Voice of the Martyrs has provided help to them while they have that family member in prison. Over the last 2 years, we've delivered more than $5 million in aid to Christians displaced by ISIS in Iraq and Syria and Turkey and Jordan and Lebanon, so all those surrounding countries. So the impact on an international level is very much first and foremost in our minds, but there is definitely an impact in the United States as well. I think it's a little harder to quantify, but we do know that every month 500,000 homes get the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter. They read the stories of persecuted Christians. Hopefully they all pray for those Christians who are being persecuted. We know that every year we have between 25 and 30 conferences around the country on a Saturday where we invite people from all across the Christian spectrum, come together. Let's learn from the stories of persecuted Christians. Let's pray together for them. And let's talk about how do we in the United States, how do we take this? How do we live it out? You mentioned I'm the host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. That is now heard every weekend on more than 700 stations around the country. But ultimately, what we want to do is sort of bridge the gap between the church in the United States, a free and comfortable church, and the church in hostile and restricted nations where people are going to jail or being beaten up or even sometimes being killed simply because they say, no, I'm not what you are. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Hindu. I'm a Christian. I won't be a communist because I'm a Christian. We want to stand with those people, and we want to equip American believers to stand with them as well.
I think it's interesting that the mainstream media reaches out to you. I think that might be a surprise to some people, but that means that there's at least a general interest nationally and maybe internationally in the persecution of Christians. And that's good, but what else needs to be done beyond simply having an interview on CNN?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In my 19 years now here at Voice of the Martyrs, I've kind of come to the idea or theory, I guess, that the mainstream media, once a year, they will push a Christian persecution story. A couple years ago, it was the Chibok girls in Nigeria, and there was a big campaign, bring back our girls. Mm-hmm. That's the story for this year. In the last couple of years, Pastor Saeed in Iran, who was detained in Iran, he's now free, thankfully. But his story was kind of the story that mainstream media would tell about the persecution of Christians. Christians being persecuted by ISIS. That was the main story for a year or so. So the challenge is to bring the mainstream media past that sort of one headline story. And the challenge for us as Christians is to frame the issue in a spiritual sense. There's such a natural, I think, assumption in the mainstream media to say, okay, we're going to tell the story this way. Okay, there's one group that's being persecuted by another group. This is really sad. This is really terrible. These people are so downtrodden and depressed. We need to feel sorry for them. The reality that we want to present is, hey, listen, this is exactly what Jesus Christ said would happen. He said, the world hates me, and if you follow me, the world's going to hate you too. That's not the experience of most American Christians, but that is happening around the world. And so helping the media to understand the story, not just in the humanitarian sense of, hey, these people got kicked out of their homes and they need help, they need tents, they need food, but helping them understand in the spiritual sense, this is Jesus Christ's words coming to pass in our time, coming to fruition, exactly what Jesus said was going to happen is happening. The other thing is to help them understand the spiritual power that is available in the midst of persecution. One of the people I interviewed earlier this year was Peter Jacek. Peter is a VOM staff member who was released in February after 14 months in prison in Sudan. He traveled to Sudan to provide help on behalf of Voice of the Martyrs. He was arrested. He was actually tried for espionage and convicted and put in prison there in Sudan. And as we talked about his story and we talked about, you know, some tough times in prison, he actually was in a cell with ISIS fighters. They were planning to waterboard him. So this was not a happy, comfortable prison experience. But he said over time, he saw God begin to work and God opened some opportunities. He was able to share his faith with some of his cellmates. And he saw God working in prison to the point that he stopped praying to be released from prison and go home and be with his family. And when he said that, I was like, wait a minute, Peter, you got to say that one more time. I just can't fathom a time when I would be in prison and I would not be praying, Lord, let me out of prison and let me go home. But he said, no, I saw God working. God was right there with me. He was strengthening me and building me up. And so I didn't need to pray to go home, because I figured as long as God had work for me to do in prison, I was willing to stay there. I was okay with it. And I just thought, wow, what an amazing level of faith. But that's one of our challenges in the mainstream media, is to get them to understand that level of faith and be able to tell that story well, because they don't have that sort of supernatural understanding of what's going on in the spiritual realm.
You talked about persecutions, and probably the best-known persecution now is what's happening in the Middle East. What can you tell us about that? What do you tell your listeners about that?
Well, there's a couple things. One of the things I try to help people have some context that there's two types of Christians in the Middle East, and particularly when we talk about, you know, in the areas where ISIS is in control. One is the traditional Christian families where they've never been a Muslim. They were born into a Christian family. Right. They grew up in a Christian family. Their identity, their culture is Christian. So that's one group. Now, they are persecuted, oftentimes kicked out of their homes, kicked out of their villages, forced out of the areas controlled by radical Muslims. But the other group of Christians is Muslim converts. These are people who were born in a Muslim family, but somewhere along the line said, you know what? I don't really believe Muhammad anymore. I don't want to be a Muslim. I want to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And so those people have an even higher level of persecution. They are given, you know, when a radical Muslim finds someone who has converted from Islam to Christianity, that person is given two choices. You can return to Islam right now, or you can be killed. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground. There's no, hey, you can go live somewhere else. There is return to Islam or be killed. So that's part of what I want people to understand about what's going on in the Middle East, is just understanding those two different groups of Christians face different types of pressure and different types of persecution. There are tens of thousands of people who are fleeing the region, Christians who have said, there is no future for us here. There is no hope for us here. We need to go to Europe. We need to go to Canada. We need to go to the United States. And I understand that feeling, and my heart sort of resonates with that. at the same time, I'll never forget an Iraqi pastor that I interviewed, and I said, okay, one of the questions I often ask at the end of a sit-down like that is, okay, how can American Christians pray for Christians in your country? The first prayer request that this Iraqi pastor shared, he said, pray that God will call Christians to stay here and be the church, even though it's hard, even though it's dangerous, even though every earthly logic says, go to the West and have a nice life and be safe and have your kids be safe. Please pray that God will call Christians to stay here in the region. And so that's something I want to always pass along to American Christians. That's his prayer request. Pray that God will not only protect Christians in the Middle East, not only watch over them and empower them and encourage them, but that he will specifically call some of them to stay there and be a lighthouse in a dark place.
We're getting to the end of our time together, but perhaps before we go, could you share with our listeners ways that those who are interested can help make a difference?
I always encourage people to do three things, and the first one is pray, and that's not just me that says that. That is the Christians that we deal with here at Voice of the Martyrs, those that I get to go and interview. They say the first thing you can do is pray for us. Many of us will never go there. We can't go to them, but we can pray for them. The second thing, then, is to educate yourself so that you can pray more effectively. I think it's easy to say, God bless persecuted Christians. I think it's more effective, and I think it's easier for us to make it personal when we know the name and the face of a persecuted Christian. We've got that person stuck up on our refrigerator or on the home screen of our phone, and every time we see it, we say, Lord, bless Pastor Lee, who's in prison in China. Help him to have enough to eat today. Help him to be healthy today. Protect him from the guards today, so that we, as we educate ourselves, we can pray more personally and pray more effectively. And then I think the third thing is whatever God asks you to do, because as we pray and as we educate ourselves, I think God lays on our hearts something to do, a way to respond. And Voice of the Martyrs can help write letters to Christians who are in prison for their faith. We can help you send Bibles or action packs or other aid. We can help provide tools for you to invite your whole church to remember persecuted Christians on the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which happens every November. So pray, educate yourself so you can pray more effectively, and then whatever it is that God lays on your heart to do, be willing to say yes and do that.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Orthodox Christian Network.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Father Gregory Joyce was talking with Todd Nettleton, who is the Director of Media and Public Relations for the ministry Voice of the Martyrs, and we will have a link to that ministry on our website, myocn.net. That's myocn.net. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, one of many ministries under the umbrella of the Orthodox Christian Network. I encourage you to spend some time on the website. Go through all of the video, audio, and print resources we have available. We are funded by people just like yourself, people who are encouraged by what they listen to or watch or read and desire to become a part of this outreach. You can do that very easily. Just check out the options when you click on the donate button on our homepage. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And until we meet again through this broadcast, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.